Good evening, everyone. Great to see you tonight. If I haven't met you before, I'm Mark, I'm the lead pastor here at this campus, and it is great to be on the couch with Glenn and Kim Thomas, who I'll introduce to you in a second. But we're really thrilled to be able to do this. Every 5 or 6 weeks, we have an opportunity where we sit on a couch and we have a conversation with people from our church family. We think it's really important. It's great for lots of reasons, because firstly, we know that it's always wonderful when we hear from those who are from Magicobi or one of our other pastors who preach. But it's great to hear what God's doing in people's lives. About 4 weeks ago, we started a series called Rediscovering Jesus, where we've been looking at the book of Matthew and the book of Mark. And today, there's some scripture that I want to look at that we, over the last 3-4 weeks, I hope, through you following along in the Thrive devotion or even just what you've been hearing on Sunday, there'll be some things that we're going to recap a little bit. Because when it comes to our walk with God, it's always great just to be able to hear what God's doing in people's hearts, what God is doing in people's lives. And yes, it's great to hear from a pastor, but it's great when we know, because I know this is true, that God's doing stuff in you guys, in our church family. So we're doing that tonight with Glenn and Kim. We're going to have a bit of a chat with you guys. I'd love to hear from you guys. I know, Kim, a lot of our Sunday night crowd might know you from worship leading, but as well, just a little bit about how long you guys have been married for, how long you've lived in Geelong, a little bit about your family, just to get to know you a little bit before we go a little bit deeper tonight.
Yep. So, yep, I'm Kim. Yep, most of you would probably know me from the fact that I'm one of the worship leaders here. I'm also a teacher. I'm a puberty educator in primary schools. We've been living in Geelong for about 23 years, have 3 beautiful children and a daughter-in-law and a grandbaby on the way. Yay! And, yeah, married to this beautiful man for 25 years.
So good.
That's us.
That's great. I'm Glenn and carpenter by trade. I've been a Christian since probably about 14 years of age, and yeah.
And we've got some photos.
Oh, question, like how long we've been here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I reflected on that this afternoon, and it was, I think we attended 1 week before the lockdown, which was March 2020.
We don't like talking about that.
But we attended once, and then and then once lockdown finished, we attended.
Back in. So good. We have some photos, I think, of you guys when you were first married with a family, a few years, young family there. And then another one, I think, around Christmas time with the Santa hats, always good. And then just a recent one when your son Jesse was married to Ashlyn, and a beautiful photo there with the all adult children, which is pretty special. So it's what a blessing, hey? What a blessing it is to see your family now grow and now you guys becoming grandparents, which is pretty cool. So today being Father's Day and all, and again, as I mentioned, we are in a series at the moment called Rediscovering Jesus, and I think it's a great opportunity for us just to lean in a little bit to some of the traits of what our Heavenly Father is. And like I said, we're going to just refer to some scripture, and especially out of Matthew 5. There's some great scripture that we can just really learn, and we can really glean from when it comes to our Heavenly Father and some of those traits that we see in Jesus' teaching. So tonight, I just wanted to firstly ask you, Kim, because I know when we spent a bit of time together, was something that that you referred to that you really love about Glenn. And we're going to spend a bit of time talking about Glenn, but also I want to get you to share a little bit as well a bit later. But it's really something that I was really reflecting on when we chatted was something you appreciate about Glenn is how deep that he loves to chat. Has he always been that way?
Yeah, actually he has. And right from, we were mates first before we were married. We were besties and always went deep in our conversations, always able to talk about the deep things of life and talk about our own faith journeys. We put everything out on the table. We knew each other's secrets. There were no skeletons in our closet. When we were married, we already knew everything about each other because we weren't afraid to, scratch at the sores, I suppose, and have a look at at the deep things that were going on inside of us and what God actually meant to us in a real way. Yeah.
That's great. So for you, Glenn, you're obviously a tradie, and as you guys started having a family, how was that for you guys? For you working full days, what was that like in those early stages of being a new dad?
It was full on for both of us in different ways. I remember coming down here to Geelong with our firstborn, Abby, and then the next two boys came along not too soon after that, so we had our little family, and we were attending church and everything, but life is life, and sometimes some things just got on top of us, and for a dad, I used to, carpenter by trade, so I'd be out there working from early morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I'd pretty much come home some days. I'm not going to say every day, but some days Kim had a big day. And so she handballed the kids to me. So as a dad, it's sort of like, I've just been working all day. Now I've got to spend time with all three kids, because my wife's had a big day and stuff like that. But I think it's just a matter of sometimes feeling sensitive, and realising that your partner, unbeknownst to you, has had those times, and you just got to step up and step into that situation and be the partner that you need to be sometimes.
It really stood out when I spent some time with you and getting to know you guys over the last couple of years that family's really important. I know even when we throw that photo up, there's something that really it just hits your hearts really heavy, and it's really wonderful to see how proud you are of all of your kids and your daughter-in-law and your grandson or daughter-to-be. Just a little bit around your house and your family. I know you guys are really open in terms of having people over and your alpha and all that kind of stuff. If you just share a little bit about why that's important to you guys, that'd be great.
I think family has always been pretty important to us. And when we moved down here, we were away from Glenn's family. Glenn's parents lived a good 3.5 hours away from us, but my family were close by. And it was probably easiest because we had the youngest kids for everyone to come to us, and that became the common meeting place. Birthdays and events, my parents, my siblings and their kids would come to our place, and it just became a bit of a family hub, and we really loved it. We always loved having everybody come over. And then my closest friend, who became my sister-in-law, lived with us for a time before she did some missionary work in India. And then when she came back, she lived with us for a little bit longer. And we've always enjoyed making room for other people. We had an Indonesian girl come and live with us for 12 months, and she still calls me mum, and we still keep in contact. We've taken in an awful lot of people over the years and wanted to have our home be a place where people could find comfort, encouragement, to find God. So then when Alpha came along, originally we started Alpha at the church, and then we're really happy to transition to running Alpha from home, and we put up our hands to have the guys from Foundos come to us. It was probably easier. They were close to us, and we could host them all at our place. And we love it. We absolutely love it. We've hosted them at our house for a couple of turns, and we probably will continue to. And they've become part of our family. So when they come in, they call me Mama Kim and Papa Glenn. And we love that our family just extends and extends and extends, because this is what we belong to, the family of God. Whether you do that in your home or whether you do that as part of your church community or even your workplace, it's all about, extending your moving out your tent pegs, extending your boundaries and allowing more people in. Yeah.
It's really obvious how important that is, and we love that. And I know we're always looking for those who are keen to do Alpha, and they can always come and chat to you guys. These guys coordinate our Alpha in our church, which is great. So please, if you're interested in wanting to know more about Alpha, please come and chat to Glenn and Kim afterwards. We're just going to swing a little bit. And I mentioned earlier that I was really focused on making sure that we align to our series at the moment, being the Matthew and Mark. And I love the idea that Jesus presents to his followers, his disciples. And there's it's an amazing text in Matthew 5. And if you know the Sermon on the Mount, there's lots of different areas that we can talk on. But today, I just want to focus on, it's called the Beatitudes. And I'm going to throw up the scripture and just read something to you. And I just want us to reflect on an idea. Matthew 5, verse 3 to 10, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." There's a word in there that is used a number of times. What is it? Blessed. My son Sam this morning, when we were sitting at the breakfast table, we had a song on the radio. It was called "Counting My Blessings," and I was singing it. And my son said, he goes, "What does bless mean? What is blessing? What do you mean by that?" And this whole idea of what it means to be blessed. So often in our lives, we feel that we need to live the good life, that we need to have some kind of life that looks good and ticks certain boxes. But this idea of blessed, when Jesus does his teaching, this is quite abstract. It's quite different to what the world sees as the good life. So I'm going to ask you guys, as a couple who have been married for a few years, a few years older than me, what does it look like for you guys? And I'll ask you, Glenn, to live a blessed life. What does that look like? Because I know in this text that we read, it's actually a little bit different to sometimes what we see that, you know, in the big house, driving the flash car, all those kind of things. Just unpack that a little bit.
This morning when you read that, it just came to my mind. It's a bunch of promises. And at the end of each of those things is a promise. And there's steps in that promise. Not all are positive. So if you're living a blessed life, it doesn't promise that you're going to be free of stuff. Even the persecution is mentioned on one of those elements that Jesus said. But they're promises, and you can bank on those because they're from God. And we think of a blessed life in our culture as possibly things and happiness, relationships going well, and all that type of stuff, which is really cultural driven. And there's elements of that in our life that we can rely on and enjoy. But as time has gone on for me in my Christian walk, a blessed life is contentment without gain, and also peace amongst the turmoil. And man, when God gives you those few elements, and just a bit of a backstory, I lost my brother to cancer, and there was a lot of things that we travelled in the Christian walk as expectations. And when I saw my brother grow a lot due to his cancer, and we had a lot of deep conversations about probably how we sort of have got the wrong thinking, have got the wrong heart, God can give you that which the world can't. And without saying too much more, to me, that's a blessed life.
Thanks for sharing that personal story. I actually didn't know that, Glenn, around your life and what trauma and tragedy that you guys had to experience as a family. So that's really hard. And I know for you, Kim, it's something that I've been really encouraged. And I know earlier in the year you spoke to our AM congregation and you shared really openly about being real. And being authentic. And that really impacted me, actually. There was a line that you said when I first heard it, actually, I was a bit like, oh, man, gee, that stung me a little bit. And I'll just read what you said. And I'd just love you to, because I know for you and Glenn and the way you live your life around just about the deeper stuff, and you shared that at the start. And I know this is just a quote from you, actually. And you said, let's not just talk about football in the foyer, but really talk about what's going on in our lives and cut out the disease that has pervaded our society and stop pretending to be something we're not, something we think other people want us to be, but it's not real. And Satan would have us live like that every day, but God calls us into something deeper. Deeper relationships, real relationships with one another on how we do community, how we do life. That really impacted me, Kim, at the time. I remember rereading or rewatching the YouTube. Just unpack why to you is that important, talking about the deeper things in life.
Gee, that was harsh, eh? I think... If you've ever lived a life behind a facade where you're trying to make everybody happy and look like you think you've got it all going on, and I think that lots of us do that in lots of different areas of our life. I want to appear that I've got it all going on, and yeah, and that I'm a good Christian or I'm a good person. Or the thing is that you can only go so deep with people before they start to see the cracks and they realise that your life is not as squared away as you would have them believe. And I think that Jesus came to break that all apart, you know, when he challenged the Pharisees and called them whitewashed tombs. That's one of the most hurtful sort of things to be called, a whitewashed tomb. Gee, you look pretty on the outside, but you're full of rotting bones, and you think, ouch, it's so awful. But what he was saying is that all this outward stuff that you're doing doesn't change who you are on the inside. So why are you trying to be something that you're not? And I think he really calls us to this life of authenticity, of reality. He wants us to be prepared to let our guard down and say, you know what? I'm the same as you. I struggle with stuff. There's hardships in my life as well. And can't we encourage each other and walk alongside each other when we've experienced stuff and we're prepared to share it?
Yeah, it's good.
And I really think that that's what's important. Thanks.
That's good. There's a text that we read earlier, which is in verse 6. I think we've got it back on the screen, or verse 5, sorry. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." You know, this whole idea around, and that word meek is not a word we throw around. You don't say, oh, you know, I'm meek. It's so I just wanted just to focus a little bit on that. So another example, another way to translate that word is gentle and lowly. So in other translations, that's another word for blessed are the gentle and lowly. And there's a book by Dane Ortlund, and I think I've got a quote, and I love this quote, and this is his book called Lowly and Gentle. He says, lowly gentleness is not one way Jesus occasionally acts towards others. Gentleness is who he is. It is his heart. Mm. So this idea of being gentle, and even as you just leaned into that, Kim, really beautifully, around authenticity, around what it looks like to humble yourself. So I don't know for you, Glenn, you know, being a tradie, all these this idea around that strength that you need when you're a tradie, and being masculine and all that whole idea. But Jesus demonstrates what this lowly gentleness. It's just a beautiful picture. I know for you, what are some things that you've learnt about that, and why does that matter to you to live a humble life?
Yeah, that hasn't always been that way. Life is life, and we can come at it from different ways. What your household was like when you grew up in it, what you've adapted from friends, and what you place within your own life, within your own heart, as important. And difficult things that come into your life quickly show how strong you are, and can break those things that you have elevated it in your life as important things very quickly. I've learnt that along life's path, and I think I've quickly, just in my relationship and walk with God over the last number of years, He's really grabbed me and sort of torn those things apart and shown me that as a strong man, a man of strength, is someone who's willing to humble himself before God and sees truth in either people's lives that are living for him or in the Bible, and you're willing to take that on board and be authentic. And live that life, and as you travel along the life humble before God, He'll bring things up that you need to take on board. And a strong man, in my opinion, is willing to listen to that and willing to step into it and live it out, not just know it, not just think it.
So good. Love that, Glenn. And I know for you reflected when we caught up around even some like daily disciplines, some habits, some things even for you in your life that you've had to put in. And there's have been times where you haven't been able to do that, just busy and work. But just share about some of those and why did that matter for you?
Yeah, look, I've been a Christian since 14, and I've attended different churches. And you sort of take on the culture of the church that you belong to, and look, even this church, it's a great culture. We've loved being here, and what the leaders and stuff discuss and present to us on a Sunday, it's lovely, and you can walk in, walk out as a participant, and be blessed. But where the rubber meets the road, it's life. It's out there. It's with your workmates. It's with your family. And I sort of got to the point in another church we went to, you rock into church, you rock out. And I started to sort of like, church was starting to be a bit ordinary. I've got to be really honest and open. And I started to really struggle in my Christian walk. I started to allow different things to creep in and attitudes and all that type of thing. And I really struggled. I knew it was wrong, and I prayed about it. And I said, God, if what I know of you is true, there's got to be more to the Christian walk than this. And He brought a couple of verses to my mind, and one Kim and I discussed this afternoon was the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, is able to divide
soul and spirit.
Soul and spirit. That's it. And just how important God's word is. So God laid it upon my heart. He used the Holy Spirit to... Glenn, you need to get back into the Word of God. So I got up early every morning and just read a chapter, meditated on it, and I started seeing things in God's Word that started to unravel the things that I'd tied myself up with. And I just started to enjoy every morning with God, revealing himself through the Bible. And then Kim joined me, and we started doing it as a couple, and we started just looking at each other across the room, just going, how come we haven't seen that before? And just truth, and the Word of God was becoming living to us, so much so that our kids were younger at that stage, and apart from a few grumps and grumbles of getting up early in the morning, they got up and they read the Word of God with us. And as a family, I think that was really a changing time in our family for a number of reasons, and we could talk all night in those changes. But I don't know, God just did a work in our family, and I guess we see our three kids still travelling with him. Yeah, they've got struggles too. We've still got our struggles. But the importance of God's Word and just what he showed me, I'm glad I listened because it made a big difference.
Yeah, I love how that started with just you just putting a bit of time aside and just reading a chapter. And God started to unravel and started to untangle things in your heart and bring you peace. And I love that picture, Glenn. It's really powerful. And there's another picture I know you shared with me when we caught up around the experience you had as a new dad. I know we've been talking a little around that today, been Father's Day and all, but there was something God really showed a lot about his character when you're a pretty new dad to Nick when he was a young child.
Yeah, there was a... obviously, I was experienced dad. This was the third child that had come into play. The other two, for all intents and purposes, were pretty cruisy and problem-free. And it was this time in our life where our third one came along, and he had a real bad eczema. I mean, really bad. And Kim had to tie his little hands up, put them in mittens, and fold the little onesies over the hands and to stop him scratching in the middle of the night. And then for a lot of nights there, we would go in and he'd got his fingers free and just scratch the smithereens out of his face. And the cot sometimes just looked like a bloodbath. And it was pretty horrific to walk in on that. And as he lived with that, his evenings were horrible. And Kim would do a great job in just keeping him at peace and try to get him down to sleep and stuff. And she would spend some time with him, consoling him when he needed it, until about sometimes up to 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Being a tradie, I went to bed early, so 2 o'clock in the morning, once Nick started playing up after that time, it was my turn.
Tag team.
Which worked well for us. And but I remember getting up multiple times sort of in one particular week. It was particularly bad. And I remember just being frustrated. I'd console him and I'd put him down and he'd start to cry again. Sometimes I'd put him down, I'd get halfway back to bed and he'd cry again. Sometimes I'd put him down and I'd get back nearly asleep, back in my own bed. And then he'd cry again. I'd go, oh, man. And I remember frustration really building up. And one time just walking when he was... when he was crying again, I just had this moment where God just said, Glenn, what are you doing? Like, why are you focused on you? Why are you frustrated and you're not getting sleep and stuff like that? And my attitude, I just realised, was really bad as a dad. And here's my little boy with eczema. He needed me. And all I was just full of complaints. And the next night, or even that evening, I just sort of went to him, I picked him up and I consoled him, and I went to put him back down and he started crying again. I said, you know what, buddy, come here. And I picked him up and I coloured him and he settled back down again. And there was an armchair in our little nursery, And I just kicked the chair back, put a blanket over the two of us, and spent the rest of the evening.
It's beautiful.
I don't know why that grabs me every time.
Oh, it's, I don't, you weren't the only one when you told that this morning, and I'm sure you're not the only one tonight. But it's such a powerful picture, Glenn, of what an earthly father, the opportunity to give comfort, and that's was something you said as well, the comfort.
Yeah, it was just a beautiful picture how God changed my heart, and instead of me being a frustrated dad, I saw how I could be the dad that he was to me and gave me comfort, and I could sit there with my boy and just comfort him.
It's been present. His presence is what Nicholas needed at the time, and you provided that. And it's a beautiful picture of even our Heavenly Father, that at times that we can feel that we need to earn God's love, or we need to do something. But, you know, at times we just need to fall in His loving arms as well. And I love, there's a great scripture in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And we often refer to that here on a Sunday night because it's a beautiful picture of the amazing invitation that our Heavenly Father gives us, that we might have our own situation that we may feel that we're tangled up, that we've got ourselves in a bit of a bind. But it says in Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." You know, again, it's a beautiful picture of the Father's heart for us, that he wants to be present with us, that he wants to sit with us in our troubles, in our turmoil, and bring us peace and comfort. So I'm going to invite you even in a second to stand with me. We're going to invite the worship team back up. And I'm going to pray and close. But before that, I'd love for you to put your hands together for Glenn and Kim as they shared so vulnerably and so powerfully tonight their story as a husband, wife, as parents, as a daughter and a son of God. So we're just so thankful, Glenn. Thank you for sharing that really powerful story. And Kim, we just appreciate you so much, Mama Kim. You really are such a mum and such an incredible woman of faith in our church. And we look forward to you preaching in about 3 weeks' time, I think, which will be great as well. So before I pray, I'm just going to read another quote from that book that I referred to. It's again a beautiful picture for us just to reflect on this tonight. It says, "So go to him, that place in your life where you feel most defeated. He is there. He lives there, right there. And his heart for you, not on the other side of it, but right there in that darkness, is gentle and lowly." Father God, we just thank you that you come to us in our times, in our hardest times. And God, you're an incredible Father. And even tonight, we know that that invitation is there, that you stand at the door and you knock at our hearts. And I just pray even now across this room, there may be some that are here tonight that feel that there's a situation, there's heartache, there's an unrest. And God, I just pray right now for those that need your peace and comfort, that you are gentle and lowly, that you are not angry with your daughter or son, that you love them, that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross so they could have mercy, that they would receive your mighty hands of grace. And we thank you for that tonight, that you come before us and you say, "Open your hands, son, open your hands, daughter, and receive." And if that's you tonight, even that gesture, you might want to do that, even just open your hand and just receive God's love tonight. That he comes, he is gentle and lowly, and he loves you. That's why he sent Jesus. We thank you for that promise. We thank you for those promises tonight. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.